the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Almost completely unprompted. Let's pray, shall we, as we begin this new year together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be together today. We look forward to a new year. We bring you our hopes. We bring you our fears. We bring you our ambitions. And we ask, Lord, in all things that you would speak to us, reveal yourself to us, and that we would meet with you. We want to walk with you humbly with our God. We want to love mercy and we want to act justly. Be with us now in these few moments, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. Well, in this church this spring, as we've said, Rachel's already said, is we're going to start to move towards a series which is based around this phrase here. God rules okay. It's interesting, it's got a question mark after it, hasn't it? So it's actually God rules okay. So how do you feel about that at the beginning of this year when you think about your life and you think about the circumstances of how you want your life to be and how it is? And how do you feel about saying to God, God rules okay? I trust you. I'm in this. We're going to look this year not just about that through the book of 1 Samuel, but also we're going to return to ask who Jesus is later in the term as we run up to Easter. Because when we say God rules okay, it's important to know how God rules. That he's not a dictator, that he doesn't force power on other people, but we worship a God who rules through servant-hearted sacrifice and compassion. And is that rule okay, as far as you're concerned, with what's going on in your life? What does it look like to live under the rule of God when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Does God rule okay as we look through this? So we've looked at a video, haven't we? Do you remember the video back there of a story of Hannah? I want you to think about that story. Remember, Hannah was there and she was praying to God because she was upset because she didn't have a child and she wanted to have a child. Here's a picture of Hannah praying. I wonder what you would say she was feeling when she was praying those prayers. Can you shout out any words that you think she might have been feeling? When she... Sad. That's a really good one because that's the first one I put up there as well. Sad. She was feeling sad. Anything else you think she might be feeling? Broken. Great word. Angry. Good. Confused. I'll tell you my words because it's going to get, let's see how we get. Sad, very good. I put lonely. I think she might have been feeling lonely. Confused, somebody said that over there. But I also think she was feeling this, hopeful. She was feeling hopeful. Sad, lonely, confused, hopeful. Maybe you're feeling one of those things this morning. Maybe you're feeling all of those things this morning as you look towards the new year. Her life isn't made easier by the people around her, is it? One of those was mentioned in the video, one of them wasn't, because there was another woman called Peninnah, who lived with Elkanah, who was his other wife, who had children already. And every time they went to the temple where Hannah would be praying, Peninnah used to take the mickey out of her, mock her. It said Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. It's hard enough being in this situation as it is without somebody else mocking you for it. And then she's got her husband, a guy called Elkanah, who's there, who I think is, I kind of relate to this man in my worst moments. He wants to do his best for his wife, but really his comfort's not that great, is it? Because he says this. He says, why are you crying, Hannah? Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than 10 sons? Men, honestly. Interesting, isn't it? When you are sad, when you don't know what to do, when you're confused and you're distressed and yet you're hopeful, what do you turn to? What do you turn to? I think you turn to pray. That's what we have. And this year, as a church, we're going to be exploring prayer together and hopefully going deeper in our prayer life. How do you live a life with God? You have to talk to God. You have to listen to God by yourself and with other people. And that's what Hannah does. And I want to talk you through the process of prayer that Hannah does today. And then in a moment, we're going to do it ourselves as we look forward. The first thing she does is she tells God what she wants. Prayer, at least in part, is asking God. We seek to get him involved, or at least get ourselves involved in him. And that's what Hannah does. She tells God how she feels, and she tells God what she wants. That's really important. Not thinking, oh, I better not ask for this because it's a bit selfish. Not thinking, oh, is this all right? Is it polite to do this? She simply pours out her heart. Do you believe that God is big enough to hear what you feel in your heart? Do you think it's okay to be honest with God? Hannah does that. She says, this is what I feel, and this is what I want. One of the things that prayer is about is asking God. What do you think? Do you think that's yes or no? Hands up for yes? Hands up for no? No one says no. You weren't sure there, Andrew, or I saw there. We think that prayer is about asking God. Not in the same way as you go to Argos and ask for something. You don't fit in a little chit for God and say, I would like, please, a hot tub for my back garden. And then you hand it in at the thing, and then God goes away in the warehouse at the back, and he comes out and says, here's your hot tub for you. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. But God does say that we should ask. In fact, he says, keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you'll find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open for you. And one of the questions that Jesus says in the Gospels, in Luke's Gospel, particularly to a man called blind Bartimaeus, he says, what do you want me to do for you? So, at the beginning of this year, 2026, what do you want God to do for you? What are you asking him for? Have you asked him for anything? But that's not the only thing that Hannah does. That's just the first stage of it. Hannah prays telling God what she wants, but wrapped up in her prayer for what she wants is a consideration of what God wants. We pray about what we want, but in praying what we want, we also consider what God wants. To live under the rule of God, to say God rules okay, is to say, what do you want, God? Our lives, sometimes in ways we don't perceive, I think, sit within the life of God, like this doll within all the other dolls that are here. You're the little one in the middle. And God's story is the big one all the way around the edge. You sit in the story of God. So when you pray what you want, you have to be thinking about what God wants, because that's part of your story. The trouble is, and this is where the difficulty comes, is when you're the little doll in the middle, you can't always see what the story on the outside is. You can only see in your own little world. That's why we pray. We do it because prayer involves struggling sometimes, wrestling. Wrestling with our lives, with our faith, and with our hopes. Because often when we ask God for things, there is actually something more than we can see. Generally, there is often more than we can actually see. Are you prepared for that when you ask God what you want this year? To think maybe there's something beyond what you want that you cannot see, what God wants for you, which is better than what you want. What do you think? Hannah's prayer reflects this. She has an open-handed attitude towards God. And she says, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire life. You give me what I want and I will give it back to you for you to do what you want with it. I will have it open-handedly here as we go on wrong. This is what it means to pray saying God rules okay. I will trust him with what's there. And when God answers her prayer, because she gets a son, doesn't she? Who remembers what the name of her son is? Can anyone here remember what the name of... Very good. What was that again?
Samuel.
Very good. Do you think she called him Sammy when she was private? Oh, all right then. What we find out is this. She goes back to the temple and says, "Sir, do you remember me? I'm the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord and he will belong to him for his whole life." There is a cost, isn't there, to Hannah's answered prayer. Do we believe that God rules okay? What happens when we pray our prayer sitting within the prayer, "Your will be done"? God answers her prayer. She's given what she wants and she holds it lightly and gives it back to him. And Samuel becomes a vital part of God's plan. He becomes a ruler who rules in the way which is after God's heart. Samuel is somebody who, generally speaking, said, "God rules okay, and I'm going to live this way and try and lead these people this way." Prayer includes asking God for what we want. What do you think? Yes? And then it means submitting what we want to what God wants. And ultimately, it means wanting what God wants. Who's got a Bible here? Anybody here? Can you look up this verse? Psalm 73, verse 4. Put your hand up when you've got it, please. Psalm 73, verse 4. He's got it right there. Thank you. Chris, can you read that out nice and loud for us?
They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong.
Oh, that's not the right verse. Oh, sorry, I've got it the wrong way. 73 verse 4, not 74 verse 3. Yeah, maybe it's that one. What was that one? Oh, don't worry, I'll tell you what the verse is anyway. You can look it up afterwards. That was going to be a really good bit of audience participation. The verse I'm after is this. What do you think that was?
37.4 is the one you want.
Thank you. What's Psalm 37, verse 4 then, Johnny?
Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desire of your heart.
That's the verse I'm after, thank you. You'll remember that more now. Psalm 37, verse... It was all deliberate, that was. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that an interesting verse? Start by delighting in God, and you will find that because you are delighting in God, what you get will be what God wants for you, and that will delight you, because you will say, "God rules okay in your life." But it takes a bit of courage to do that. The lessons that we have learned from this story are also lessons that you find in the New Testament, because the song that Hannah sings in 1 Samuel 2, you can go and look at it in it, called the Magnificat, is a song that, the song in 1 Samuel 2 is repeated quite similarly by Mary in Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, Mary says some words which are quite like Hannah's words. She says, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Or in a more traditional version, "May it be to me as the Lord says." In other words, she wants what God wants. And it turns out that it is also what she wants. And she can say amen to that. Moving from coming to God with what we want, asking what God wants, and arriving to want what God wants isn't always comfortable or straightforward, is it? I don't find it comfortable or straightforward. For me, prayer is often like wrestling. I want what God wants, but also there's a big part of me that wants what I want. And if it's difficult, I don't like it. And yet Jesus knew exactly what that was like. Because in the New Testament, he wrestled harder than anyone else did. In fact, he wrestled so hard that it said that his tears were like drops of blood that were coming from him. And he said this, "My Father, If it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. I want to be able to say over my life, God rules. Okay. Now, obviously, that was a really extreme example. And none of us are going to face what Jesus had to face. It was impossibly difficult because he knew that he was going to have to go to the cross for us. But we can also get to a point where we can say, not my will, but your will be done with God's help. And that's what the end of our prayer life. That's where we're aiming for. It's what it is to follow Jesus. It brings glory to God. And it gives us peace. There was a song, wasn't there? I don't know if we've ever sung it here. There's an old song anywhere. It says, Jesus, all for Jesus, all I want and have and ever hope to be. And then it says, for it's only in your will that I am free. For it's only in your will that I am free. This year, we'll be exploring prayer together. In this evening, we'll start doing that. If you want to go on this journey, come along to the evening service. We're going to be doing a lot of praying together. We're going to do it tonight. We're going to share communion tonight. Later weeks, we're going to be doing a series called Seeking God. In the mornings, we're going to continue this story of what it means for God to rule in our life through 1 Samuel, asking this question. God rules, okay? And I want to offer you a little challenge this year. Can we be honest about this rather than just say what the right answer is? If you really want to engage with God, it's no good just saying, yeah, God rules okay. It's about saying what's in your heart and wrestling with God to the point where we say, God rules okay. When Jesus said, your will be done, he didn't say whatever in a sort of whatever. He said it in this way, whatever, whatever, for you, whatever. And that's the journey that we're on now. Now, you should have a piece of paper with you, because I'm going to take you for a little prayer thing now before we sing a song. Oops. Let me go back. So, have you got the bit of paper? Great. Have a think about this yourself as we're going to go through it. I'm going to talk to you. This paper is about working out a prayer that says God's rules okay. Now, remember Hannah said that she would give back her son to God. Well, look at this verse here. Can we read this together? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In other words, what Paul is encouraging us to do is to give God the whole of our lives. And that's what we're going to do through this thing. So, if we look here, in a moment, we're going to sing a song, which is a childlike song, deliberately. And we're going to say, Father, I put into your hands the things I cannot do. But before then, we're just going to think. At the top of your sheet is a circle that says, what we want. I wonder what that means for you today. If you've got a pen, you might like to write something in that circle. There are some pens somewhere around. You might have a pen. If not, you might like just to think about that. Remember, we said in Luke, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? So what does that mean for you this year? What do you want? And have you told God that? Prayer starts with the desires of our hearts. And then secondly, we go to ask, what does God want? So think about what you're asking God, but now ask yourself, given what I'm asking God, what do I think God wants in the middle of all of this? How does what God wants and my understanding of that change the nature of what I'm praying for? Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, when you put in what God wants and then ask truly what does God want in that, you are testing what his good, pleasing, and perfect will is, asking yourself that question. So I wonder what that is for you. What do you want this year? What do you think God wants out of that thing that you want? And lastly, How do we want what God wants? What journey of the heart is there that takes you from circle number 2 to circle number 3? Wanting what God wants. Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus didn't say, my kingdom come, my will be done, and make heaven like my earth. So here's a little process, and I want to give it to you for this year for prayer. Every time you pray, you might like to think about this when you're asking something. What are you as a family asking for this year? What does God want for you as a family this year? How do you get to a place of wanting what God wants? What does God want for your house group this year? What do you want for your house group? And how do you want what God wants? What do you think God wants for our church this year? Maybe you start by, what do you want for our church? But what does God want for our church? And how do we want what God wants? And we end by saying simply this, because we can't do it by ourselves. Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do. I'm not going to ask you to stand now, but we're going to sing this song. Johnny's going to lead us again. And you might like to hold your hands openly like this. You know, people sometimes do different things when they're worshipping. You see me down the front. Sometimes I do it. I'm on the edge here, because it's slightly different here in Luton. I'm on the edge here sometimes of clapping. I know. Please don't be offended if that actually breaks out at one point. Sometimes I do a little bit of movement when I'm singing, like this. Hoping no one will note. I'm actually very like that if I go to a party as well, exactly the same way. This is my dancing in parties. But sometimes people do things with their hands. Sometimes we put a hand up, and what that means is I feel that I want to submit to you, God. I want to surrender to you, God. Sometimes people hold their hands like this. And what that means is, I'm open to what you want me to do, Lord. I'm putting my life before you. And that's what I'd like you to do now as we sing this song, if you feel able to. And sing these words, simple song, simple song. It's a very simple song, isn't it? Childlike. But it's deliberately childlike, because that's how we're supposed to come to God. Okay.